Is this change? Is this what we're really talking about? Or is this, you know, a difference of what someone wants in their life and someone doesn't? Mm-hmm. And then ultimately, you know, one compromises. I'm not sure that that's, I guess that's change in mm-hmm. some ways, but I also think that that's also a compromise and a willingness to see that, you know, and in this particular situation that yes, it will cause change to your life, certainly mm-hmm. at the beginning.
I'm Julie Bullitt. I've been a family therapist for over 30 years.
I'm David Bullitt. I've been a divorce and family lawyer for more than 35 years.
Together, we have been married for more than 37 years.
In our professional practices, the two of us have been witnesses to individuals and families struggling with life's most difficult challenges. In this podcast, we will talk about the conversations we have had,
the conversations we should have had,
and those that every relationship needs to have in order to find success, happiness, and fulfillment.
This is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
Hello, welcome to Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
There you go. So Baskin and Robbins has how many flavors?
Well, they say 31, but having worked at Baskin Robbins, I can tell you there's a lot more than that. They just shuttle some flavors in and out.
Okay. So what's the reason why there's more than one flavor?
Because people like different things.
Correct. Uh-huh. That's what this podcast is about.
Liking different ice cream?
Well, liking different things. So one of the things that has recently come up in our relationship is the amount of change that you like versus what I like. I don't like change. And I'll just say I, you know, sort of come from a long history of not liking change. I would say my parents are very stable. They stay in the same house. They do the same things, you know, one night's movies and the other night is game night and those kinds of things. So I have a low tolerance for accepting change. And you, what would you say about your concept of change?
Well, first of all, let's notice the one thing that we've done differently already is that you started the episode, so that's a change that you did moderately well. So there you go. Usually, I'm the one that opens my big mouth mm-hmm. to start, but I don't think that change or the fact that there is change, and we can talk about more specifics because that's a big word, that somehow reflects some sort of instability, which is what you just sort of intimated. Your parents were very solid and stable, and therefore, since there wasn't a lot of change, that infers stability. And I don't think that's a fair connection, if that's a connection you're trying to make.
No, I'm not making that connection at all. I am saying that liking things the same way all the time is a comfort thing.
Well, that's a different point.
Yes,
I understand.
And that's what I'm saying that I like. I like to know, you know, when we were thinking about moving, I was like, okay, what grocery store am I going to go to? Mm-hmm. What gym am I going to go to? And I didn't embrace doing new things in that way. So I would say I'm a little bit change adverse, whereas I think you like change.
Well, again, we've talked about this. It's not a question of liking. It's a question of being more adaptable and more willing.
Yeah.
More willing and more adaptable to change, whatever that change may be. Something, to be honest with you, there's certain things that you know, you might like to do differently than me. And you find me to be restrictive and not willing to change. You've said to me many, many times, don't get it. You need to get out of your box. Mm. Well, that intimates, again, I use that the second time I've used that word in the last first 3 minutes, that intimates that I won't change.
Right.
Right. So there you have a point where you think I'm inside my box, mm-hmm. unwilling to change, to step out. Right. Right?
And right.
Then, okay. So you're black and white. You like it and you don't and I do. It doesn't quite fit.
So you like change in some areas.
Again, and you keep saying like. Mm-hmm. All right. What I say is I embrace it and I'm not unwilling to look at it.
Yeah.
And particularly when it comes to certain things.
Right.
Certain things. Yes. Yes.
So let's talk about what sort of prompted this. Uh-huh. So what sort of prompted this is that we had two dogs for a very long time.
15 years.
For 15 years. And one recently passed away about a year ago. And I was like, okay, we're good with one dog. Like, he is nine, he is trained, he is easy at this point. And David's like, let's get a dog, let's get a puppy. And I'm like, oh no, we shouldn't have a second dog because they, you know, cause more work. They're going to make messes. They're going to chew stuff up. They're, you know, and I really, really did not want a second dog. And David's very adaptable with dogs specifically, and he probably would have 14 dogs. So I did not embrace the concept of changing our life a little bit to get a dog. And I said, no.
Yeah. You said no for a long time. And is this change? Is this what we're really talking about? Or is this, you know, a difference of what someone wants in their life and someone doesn't? Mm-hmm. And then ultimately, you know, one compromises.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that that's, I guess that's change in mm-hmm. some ways, mm-hmm. but I also think that that's also a compromise and a willingness to see that, you know, and in this particular situation that yes, it will cause change to your life, certainly mm-hmm. at the beginning, with me trying to run him outside, make sure there's no damage to the house and getting fed and two dogs instead of one and walking and so forth and all in the dirt and the rest of it mm-hmm. that comes along with. So it's definitely, there's definitely a change, a difference. Mm-hmm. But I think the reason that we get there with regard to Archie's his name, by the way, a very sweet little fellow.
He's very cute.
He's very sweet.
Maybe we should bring him out.
Well, I think you ought to wait on that. He's liable to try to lick the microphone and then who knows what while we're trying to record this episode.
Yeah.
Something else that would lead you to be adverse to change, possibly.
Yes, adverse to
but
change.
I mean, you know.
So how did we work out this change, this, you know, me saying no, and then you kind of, let's talk about that.
Okay. So you want to give your perspective and I'll tell what the real, what really happened.
So let me just say, I really didn't want another dog. I like dogs. I don't love dogs. Okay. We're probably going to get some hate mail for me. But anyway, I was happy with one dog and I said, no, we're good. We're good. And David went to a canine rescue, which is a wonderful organization here in the DMV. And we'll actually do a link for them. And he went to an adoption day, which was not a good idea for a dog lover. And he fell in love with Archie. And I started getting text messages and photos. And my granddaughter was there. And she was saying, Juju, why won't you let Peeps get, what was his name?
Crusher.
Why won't you let Peeps get Crusher? And I'm like, oh, because Juju just likes one dog at a time. So I said, no. And you left Crusher, who's now Archie, there. And you came home and you pouted for a week. And then I realized that this was not going away. I was hoping it was, but it wasn't going away. And you kept in touch with the person that was fostering Crusher, Archie, and you kept on talking about him. And then as a week went by, I mean, I knew you really liked this dog. And I also knew that you do most of the dog caring. It doesn't affect me as much as it affects you. And I just decided, you know what, this isn't going away and it would make you really happy. And so I said, yes.
Okay. Well, I think part of that's true.
What part?
The part that you realized would make me happy. And you said, yes. I mean, there was definitely, you know, first of all, there was no intention to enlist the support of all of our grandchildren who were on her neck incessantly, by the way, about why she wouldn't let me get another dog. And that was not my doing. I didn't ask my grandkids to do that. I didn't put them in the middle there.
Did you pay them?
Did not pay them. Did not. But Julie lives in a family that everybody else loves dogs. And she's the one that doesn't. That doesn't mean you don't deserve respect for how you feel about things. And I would certainly have been respectful of that. At the same time, you know, there's certain things in life that help you get through difficult times.
Why wouldn't one dog do that? Why
do you need to? He does do it. And my Golden, who's not quite nine, is nine, but and is a young nine, by the way, still has a lot of puppy in him and is my companion because, you know, during the pandemic, he was right by my side. And this having this puppy doesn't change any of that other than a little bit of dog depression that he's having trying to adjust.
But
what I'm saying to you is, you know, if we want, and the pouting is an exaggeration. The being sad is not an exaggeration. Thinking that to myself that this is a dog that was meant for me. We all, if you're listening to me out there, we have all had circumstances that have come up in our lives where we've seen something and say, I got that, that is meant for me, or I'm supposed to do this, or I'm supposed to do
when
that.
When I met you, I knew you were meant for me.
No, boy. Okay. On the heels of telling me how much I was pouting. But you know, so like, for example, when we got our house in Alney, you said, oh, I saw this neighborhood. We were meant to live here. Now,
yeah, I got
would
a
I
feeling.
Have picked that neighborhood? Yeah. No, because it wasn't what I would have wanted in a house or in a yard or in you know, for various different reasons. But ultimately, I said, okay, you know, and so that was a compromise. Mm-hmm. It was, I guess it was a change in how I addressed it, just like you had a change in how you addressed the puppy. But change on the main is difficult for most people. Mm-hmm. You know, any kind of it change is different. And that's why
it's more difficult for me than it is for you.
Oh, it absolutely is more difficult for you. But that's, you know, in my world, that's why a lot of people stay married. Mm-hmm. Not because they're happy, but because, you know, it's the devil you know versus the devil you don't. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not happy here, but if I change, what could, you know, if I go to get divorced or I separate, mm-hmm. oh my God, what's going to happen to me?
Yeah.
And that's just one example. So, but I think that you're probably in the majority of people who, mm-hmm. who fear it.
Yeah.
And I think fear is the right word. You don't,
I get anxious about it. What is it going to look like? And I like the predictability.
I tend to, you know, and again, we're talking about dogs and houses, but there's mm-hmm. other change type issues.
Absolutely. And what I want to say is that this is an issue that comes up all the time in my office with couples.
Yeah.
Is the concept of change and how people react to it. And it causes a lot of difficulties. And I think that there's not like one size fits all, like you always meet in the middle or whatever.
Right.
I think you have to talk about it and acknowledge like what's triggering for you about this change, what's hard for you about this change, and the partner understanding it and really like talking about it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and with the dog, I certainly understood it. I didn't agree with it. I mean, I understood it. And, you know, and we're very fortunate where we have a home close to our kids and grandkids, and we have another place that has a little more, you know, works a little bit better for dogs because mm-hmm. there's a yard and there's space to run and walk and so forth. And I felt like, you know, I'm doing it all anyway. Yes, you're going to get woken up a little bit.
Yeah.
It's going to be a few months, and then it's all going to be smoother sailing. We all know who had dogs. It's a year anyway before they're. You know,
what did somebody say to me this week? You give a dog
a year.
You give your life for a dog the first year, and they give you
the rest of their lives.
The rest of their lives.
No,
I love that. I love that.
And for those of us who are dog lovers, we know that is probably the case, or maybe not even a full year. Maybe it's less than that. But
yeah.
But I think that change, the need, sometimes when change is imposed upon you, mm-hmm. then that's where folks can really have trouble,
mm-hmm.
right? So let's say, for example, you've got a couple whose finances are such that they have to make some decisions about what they can't have anymore, what they can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And for folks who are more open to change, it might be easier.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to others who are not.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be very difficult. What do you mean we can't go out to dinner on Saturday night? Or what mm-hmm. do you mean we can't do our 2 week or a week vacation? Or, you know, what do you mean I can't buy that new hat or dress or
that our kids can't go to private school,
right.
or that we can't afford the groceries this week and we need to, you know,
you have to change. We always
differently.
Yeah, we always bought this. Why do we have to do it now? We've always done that.
Yeah.
You know, and frankly, it's interesting. this popped into my head. So as you know, I'm chairing this gala for CASE, the Center for Adoption Support and Education, co-chairing. And during the course of our planning, we had some discussions with, you know, some folks who had been involved, me, the co-chair, and some of the people who had been involved in prior events. And, you know, there was a lot of, well, we've always done this and we've always done that. And when we said to them, well, okay, but we're not going to do it that way this time. Yeah. We're going to do it differently. Yeah. A, they didn't like it. Mm-hmm. B, they were very nervous about it. Mm-hmm. And that's not being critical. They have every right to be, because they, you know, they did things their way.
Yeah.
You know, and so in any number of circumstances, change can be a difficult thing in a relationship. It's definitely a difficult thing, and it's a hard, and it can be a hard area to navigate.
Absolutely.
You know, it really can. And and I think that ultimately you did the right thing.
Of course I did the right thing. Of course I did the right thing. And I'm going to go get Archie, because I think they need
to see get Archie. So we're going to get Archie, and then you're going to have to let Archie out. Yeah, and then I will close after you show everyone Archie. So she's getting Archie, who's in his little crate for the moment. For those of you who are watching on YouTube, you will see Archie. For those of you who are not watching, you will not see Archie, but you can assume that he is a cute little character. And here is Archie. Archie, there's Archie, who was Crusher originally. Yes, this is Archie, a mixed up character. Sweet, sweet boy, and probably needs to go and pee. Yes. So I'm going to let you do that. Take him out. And we will thank everybody for hanging in. And this is our most recent change. Our golden retriever is down below. We won't pick him up. And thanks again for joining us. You can find us at TheBullitts, TheBullitts.com, on all social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, and LinkedIn. I still don't get the whole LinkedIn thing.
And let us know how you deal with change in your relationship. DM us, email us, let us know how change has affected the two of you.
This is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
See you next time. Woof.
Julie Bullitt is a professionally licensed clinical social worker and family therapist. David Bullitt is a divorce and family lawyer. Julie is not your therapist, and David is not your lawyer. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only.